Hey, good morning, Arizona homeowners. Thank you this morning for tuning in to every Arizona homeowner's best friend. It's Rosie on the House, your Saturday morning tradition for 25 years. We're all here. Operators are standing by waiting for you to light up the lines. You call the toll-free number, 1-888-767-4348. Our broadcast engineer, Mike Reisch, is in Global Broadcasting Headquarters. My wife, sweet Jennifer, and I are here at the Tucson Convention Center for the Southern Arizona Home Builders Home Show all weekend long. And we're here with our Southern Arizona landscaping and gardening know-it-all, Mr. Expert, horticulturist and landscape designer from Savano Nurseries, Mr. Eric Clark. Eric, thanks for joining us this morning, my friend.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
It's great to be here. Hey, we're here to start the show with the Rosie on the House landscaping tip of the week and to answer any question you might have concerning your landscape. Lawns, trees, succulents, vegetables, watering, mowing, planting, fertilizing, irrigation systems, hardscapes, outdoor lighting. Did I miss anything?
I think that covers it.
That about covers everything from the property line to the foundation, doesn't
right.
it? All right. You have a question about any of those topics, give us a ring. The number again is 1-888-767-4348. Let's get going as the lines light up with the landscaping tip of the week, brought to you by Rosie on the House and Savano Nurseries of Tucson. So, Mr. Eric.
Yes.
Couldn't be any nicer out there right now.
Perfect.
Huh?
Perfect gardening weather.
Golly.
It's a crime to stay in the house this time of year.
It is a crime to stay in the house right now. You know, we've got a lot of things we need to look about in these transition periods. A lot of the things we deal with callers and homeowners a lot is clocks.
Yeah.
Automatic clocks.
Yeah.
Why can't they make an automatic clock that
people can understand?
Well, yeah, that would help, or that has its own brain and adjusts itself, like my night lighting.
Right, know? Right.
I guess I should have my night lighting on the 12-hour, 24-hour clock, but I ought to let it override by some kind of dust-to-dawn eyeball, right?
Well, that makes it easier, yeah. Right. And a lot of people do that. A lot of people have trouble with their lighting timers, too, you know. A lot of people, you know, have trouble, you know, well, remember VCRs, I guess that dates me, but you know.
Well, I still have one. Does that date me?
People have trouble with programming things, typically, you know, and, you know, a timer is really no different than programming your oven clock, you know. You're basically, you know, and they give you the manuals and then you lose them, but they don't make sense anyway when you read them. So, but, you know, you got to delve into it. You know, there's people you can hire that will come and change your clock seasonally, because that's one big mistake that a lot of people make is they don't change their clock seasonally. And right now you want to go from your summer watering schedule into your winter watering schedule. And it's really important to get out there and tackle that timer. It's basically just a clock. You know, if you just think of it like that, a lot of people think they're going to mess it all up.
Overthink it.
Yeah, they do overthink it.
Intimidated.
Right.
But you can really cut your watering down now to about half what you were doing in July and August, can't you?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of people overwater typically anyway, and they tend to water frequently but shallow. And really for your trees and shrubs, you want to focus on, especially if they're established, on the deep watering. And you don't need to do it that often, you know. If it's a desert tree and it's established, you really probably don't need to water it. You could even cut it off watering, especially as we go into the winter. If it's a fruit tree or an Arizona ash or something that likes a little bit more water, you could probably go to twice a month right now and not really have to do that extended deep watering that you might do in the summertime when the trees have fruit on them or leaves. So right now, as we go into November, it's only a couple weeks away, you can really save on that water bill. You can really encourage your trees to have that deep rooting. A lot of people water maybe 2 hours, twice a week for 45 minutes, and they miss the point that their emitters are gauged for gallons per hour. And so you really need to run your system at a minimum for an hour, if not up to 5 hours on your larger trees. These short runs, you know, half an hour, even 15 minutes, I hear people watering. And that's just not good for anything unless it's like a potted plant or something, you know. But you really want to focus getting your roots down 3 feet deep on your trees, and that's going to require, you know, hours of slow, deep watering. That's the whole reason drip systems were invented, was so this slow application to a heavy clay soil, it helps that water get down deep.
I think people would be surprised if after they ran their program and their circuit and their clock, if they took just a long screwdriver and tried to stick it down in the ground, many of them would only get a couple inches deep.
I mean, you
really need to be able to sink a long screwdriver all the way up to the handle.
Right.
When you've watered it correctly.
Yes. Yeah. And a lot of people won't water. You know, the monsoon season's over now, but, you know, I'll get a lot of calls. People are like, the tree's dying, and they didn't water it because it rained. You know, even if we get an inch of rain in an hour, you know, you can go out and dig in the ground after that, and you can see it barely even soaked in half an inch,
yeah.
You know. So that's why the deep waterings are really important.
So let's get out there and take the time today to adjust the clocks, get them all set up. You can set them up now, and you won't have to touch them again probably to about March or April. So
Right. Just
go out there and get that done. What are some of the other things we're doing in these transition seasons? How about a good dose of fertilizer on everything?
Yeah, it's getting a little late to fertilize a lot of things, but if you did start your winter rye, you know, you're going to fertilize that throughout the winter. And so that's fine. But your trees and shrubs, you're basically not going to fertilize from here through the winter. You can start fertilizing most of those in mid to late February is a good time to start to wake them up for spring.
Let them just go to sleep.
Go to sleep right now. Yeah, you don't want to give them a late dinner. Just let them go to sleep. And the reason is if you fertilize them now, you're going to encourage some new growth that is likely to be damaged by cold that we typically get here in Tucson about late November.
And now all that tender, fresh growth
will turn black.
Is going to get burned.
Yeah.
All right, so fertilizing on your lawns, not necessarily fertilizing any of your trees or
Right. Larger
shrubs or...
Well, the winter rye that we use here is hardy to the freezes that we get, so it's not a problem to fertilize that.
Yeah.
And you will want to fertilize because it will be growing through the winter. So people typically use ammonium nitrate, or you can use organic fertilizers also. It's harder to get some of the nitrates to release in a colder soil, but there are many formulations, so it's you can go to your local nursery, Savano Nursery, and pick up some fertilizers for your lawn. Make sure it says lawn fertilizer.
I want to thank Savano for allowing you to come down and sit in our seat here, our landscaping seat this morning. Why don't you let everybody know where y'all are?
Well, we're on the southeast side of town over on Houghton, 5301 South Houghton, just south of Irvington. There's some construction going on right there, so you know
Yeah. You
have arrived. We have a big sign out front, electronic sign, so you really can't miss it.
Yeah, they're turning Houghton into a regular old freeway almost, aren't they?
Yeah, it's going to be six lanes when they're done, and we're going to have a nice parking lot off of that. Once they get that finished, we'll have a turn-in lane and a new parking lot. We'll start construction on that within the year probably. So,
all right. We're going to run a couple Rosie on the House specials today for people that are listening.
Yeah.
What do you have in mind?
If you come down to the nursery today or tomorrow and mention that you heard us on Rosie on the House, we'll give you 20% off on any shade trees. And also, it's geranium time, geranium season.
Yeah.
They're looking beautiful. We've got some great Colorado geraniums, greenhouse grown in Colorado. They're here now, and if you mention Rosie on the House, they'll be $6.99 today and tomorrow.
All right. So a little extra special love for those of you that are listening here on KNST down in the Tucson market. For the Rosie on the House listeners at Savano Nurseries on Houghton Road. Let's get to the phones as you hear us take care of callers. That opens the line for you at 1-888-767-4348. Let's welcome Mark, who is calling from Phoenix with a question on watering. Good morning, Mark. How can we help you, my friend?
Well, good morning, Rosie. I know that you guys talked about interval times and duration.
Mr. Mark.
Yes. Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, buddy.
So I know you guys talked about interval times and durations for shrubs and trees. What size of emitters should you use on the trees to make sure that you're getting the proper watering for the duration and the interval between days?
Yeah. Well, typically a 2 gallon per hour is a pretty good emitter sizing for our heavy clay soils. If you go up to 4 gallons per hour, a lot of times that's going to have a tendency to run off or you know, especially if you have a hill. You know, if you have a low basin, you know, you could do 4 gallons per hour, but 2 gallons per hour is generally going to work for most trees that you would plant.
Talk about location of those.
Well, you know, in the beginning, when you plant a tree, you've got to keep those emitters right on that root ball. But as the tree grows, the roots, the feeder roots are going to move out, and they'll be as wide as the canopy of the tree. So it's really important over the years to move those emitters out to the edge of the canopy where those feeder roots are. They take in the water, they take in the nutrition more efficiently. So if you have an old tree and you notice that there's an emitter or three emitters up at the trunk, you know, you want to like either move those out or add new emitters out towards the edge of the canopy.
And that's easy to do with that little spaghetti tubing that they have.
Yeah.
You simply just remove the head, the emitter, put a splice in there or a T in there,
mm-hmm.
put a T in there and leave one there and then run the other one out there to the edge of the canopy and blop another one in right there.
Right, right. And on a new tree, you should probably have at least 3 2-gallon emitters. And then on a mature tree, as it gets older, 3 or 4 years older, you know, you should have maybe up to 9 emitters out under the canopy and out towards the edge of the canopy. And you're going to run it for several hours, but you're only going to do it once a week, once it's established, or even less. You know, as we go into the winter, you could get away on an apple tree, say, for example, you could probably only water that twice a month through the fall and winter months. It's not going to have any apples on it. It's going to be dropping its leaves. It's not going to be requiring that water.
Yeah.
But you should always do it deep, because salts is another thing that we really have to worry about, and another reason why we deep water, to flush those salts out of that root zone.
Mark, does that answer your question?
That answers the first one. The second one is we're on an acre lot, and we've got SRP irrigation that runs to the front yard, but we want to put grass in the backyard and optimize that with using the SRP irrigation. You know, I haven't talked to SRP, but I was wondering if I could repipe it to where when I open up the flood gate that it just comes out where the grass is. Is that possible?
Mark, I believe you can. You sign up for as much time as you want on that. You can check with SRP, but I believe all you're going to have to do is provide a way for the water to get from the backyard to the front yard, sign up for a longer time, and you are set. Hey, it's Rosie on the house. We have Carol from Gilbert, Mary from Green Valley, and Angel from Green Valley, it looks like. We'll get to all these calls with Eric Clark of Savano Nurseries right after this short break.